I tell you, I'm going to get in a position where I can put me some cows someplace. I've been under an awful strain in the last 2 months.
Yeah, I know you have. Looks like y'all got more jobs than you know what to do with now.
Well, I'll tell you. Say, I've been in predicaments. Awful close places. But I ain't went under yet.
No. That was right serious about that income tax.
To handle a few cows. $4,000?
No. I did wish I had $1,000 I could tie up some cows for 3 months.
Well, how much, what would you do then?
I'd sell them in about 3 months.
And just keep on? Selling them? Reselling them, getting some more?
That's right.
How much could you, what would you get?
I'd buy, I'd buy 4 heifer cows. Like this heifer down here that had a kid.
Yeah.
I'd buy animals like that.
And hope they had a calf?
No, hope they didn't have a calf. Let them keep them through the summer and get them fat and they'll bring you top price.
Yeah. That won't cut, Cookie.
Come on.
Say that again.
I'm about to have
you got some heifer calves?
Heifer cows.
Heifer cows?
Right.
Growing up to breed?
That's right. Just like his heifer down here now. You put her on the market now, they'd sell them separate.
Mm-hmm.
If one man bought them, he'd say, sell a calf. Take a heifer home, put her on grass, give her a little green, get her started, and she would keep right on coming. And she'd put on 200 pounds this summer.
Mm-hmm. And sell it for beef.
That's right, sell it for beef as well.
You wouldn't go in for the calves.
Not necessarily.
I think that's where the most of the work is. If you go just with beef and buy according to the season, you know, have a little grass, a little hay, and has been. And then you don't, you're not tied down to any program. This cow calf program, as they call it, is, I think that's got the most work to it. And the most money involved.
What you mean, cows and kids? Yeah. You've got a lot of money involved in.
Are you breeding?
Yeah.
Now, see, to come out on that, you've got to have so many cows. Enough to hire a little help. See, the little piddling I have, I can't hire any help. There's not enough in them, you see, to I'm gonna hire help myself. If I had 50 cows, 75 cows, it'd be different. I'd feel right as much better. Sure they're all producing and not throwing off on me like these old cows I got out here now, some of them. You know, I reduced my cows for a very definite reason. I had gotten in pretty good shape. And they were breeding about the right time. And this year, that particular year, half of them was laid.
Laid?
Yes, sir. And that got the calving season and the breeding season clear out of whack.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what had happened. They had just as good seed as they ever had. It wasn't extra good seed, but they wasn't poor. It scared me to death. And I never have been able to get a hold of what you call good information. People come on talk, but when they talk, I can see they didn't know a whole lot more about it than I did. They were sort of guessing, or, you know, going by what experience they had. I used to try to get a little information on the veterinaries. Well, it's a mighty small amount of information you can get out of the vet.
Just like a doctor.
Is that
you
right?
You go to a medical doctor. Does he tell you anything? No.
Yeah.
He ain't going to tell you what's wrong with you if you don't ask him.
Yeah.
And you may have to ask him 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. I think one reason. I'm afraid to tell you. I'm afraid to talk. Be wrong. Now this Dr. Beacham, the vet, is out here this week. I told him about my calves. Some of the calves were back this time. First time that bull ever had 4 calves or line bags. Never had them before. And he said, how old was he? And I told him he's about 9 years old. Well, sir, he said, they wear out. Some of them. Well, I said, he couldn't wear out. He didn't have enough service. He said, the age would do it. And it's not all do it, but he says it's common. So you just, you don't use a bull very long. You go ahead and get a fresh animal.
Well, my dad used one 2 years.
Is that right?
2 years.
And then send it to market.
That's right. He got, this is his second year on this Charolais. When he gets his cows bred this spring, he'll sell that Charolais bull.
Yeah. How much he got in the bull?
You got $400 in it.
And he figures that's cheap. Then he can get about that much out of it.
He'll get $400 out of it. he puts them on the market. Well, actually, all this out for 2 years is his seed. And he's 4-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I said that to 3 or 4 people I just run into, and none of them agreed with it. I said, what bed was that? I said, we are fellow ladies worth this. We got this, and they took Beecham because they couldn't do any better, but they'd rather have some of the others. So I don't...
Now my brother-in-law, he's got a white face, and I'm going to show you an example. Now he's got about 25 cows, and he's had him, last year was his third year, well he kept him this year, this makes him 4 years for the same bull. Last year, he had, I think it was either 4 or 5 cows he didn't even get with him.
Yeah.
That hurt him real bad. He lost either 4 or 5 kids. $400 or $500.
Well, that's your margin. Lord, that's more than margin.
So, it paid him 2 years ago to got rid of that bull and got him another.
Yeah. You know, the cheapest thing you can do is, test them. Test the cows. Of course, that's late, but it's not too late to do something.
They're better late than not at all.
I think they like for the calves to be settled for 2 months before they test them.
Yeah.
Well, that's you can still make a motion.
Yeah, and get a veal calf. Get a calf for a veal.
Sure.
A veal calf will bring you just about as much as a feeder calf will now.
Right.
It sure will. You take this little calf and you're going to sell.
Yeah.
You keep it till it's 4 or 5 weeks old, good and fat. It'll bring you $65.
Yeah.
It will.
And then put the calf back up in circulation. Best thing could happen to that all them pastures over there is for you to have around 20 head of cows over there. You see, that's the growing season right now. That grows some dead burning much stuff here now.
Yeah. I know just in the 2 weeks, there's a difference in this place.
Mm-hmm.
The grass has shot up that much in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think you haven't worked on that livestock market in a good long while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not as many shysters on it as there used to be. And, and generally they're more competent, I think. So, I think you'd do better on a market like this than you did on the old market.
Yeah, the market, a market like this now is more stable.
It's more stable, and they got more money.
Right.
And they don't go by seasons.
No, just like Wallace Cobb up there. I noticed him. 95% of the time, he will start every cow. He will start every cow.
You know what you could do? You could go over there after the sale and just pick out the cows you wanted and buy them from him. And he don't charge much. He just charges a little head and you get his judgment.
Just a little freight. That's what he charges.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Now that's one thing to do now. They don't try to make it all on one cow. Now your family, because it doesn't know anything about cattle. They haven't had a chance to work with cattle.
They don't know nothing about cattle.
They haven't even had an old milk cow.
See, I had a milk cow for a year. I milked her for a year. And she wouldn't breed and sold her. Purebred Jersey. Had the papers on her. I sold her. I gave $100 for her and sold her for $100. Milked her a year.
Yeah.
So I didn't lose no money.
The only one I know now I built is Dodd. They got their own milk.
Well, Jack Stokes, he's got his milk out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Charlie talks about 2 or 3 gallons of milk a day that they drink and all the cream.
Yeah.
Butter.
Yeah. And they have a little spare for the friends around it. Yes, sir. You know, now that's, you're talking about feeding. That milk is coming in every day. And it's right there on the place, and you don't have to run all over the county.
That's right.
In order to make it. And you know, I'm getting to the point where now you see Jim got this little garden out there. Now he's just playing with it. If I did it, I wouldn't play with it. I'd get me an acre out there and put in enough beans there to do something with them. Get 2 or 3 rows. And put in enough sweet potatoes, you see, for the winter. And you'd have it, wouldn't cost anything, and it'd be better stuff.
Tastes a lot better. Black Helen had green beans for dinner. She bought them out of the store. Them were the flattest whole beans that I've eaten in a long time.
And I'll bet you they were costly.
They were costly, that's right.
Oh, I know they were.
They were forced growing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you take, if you plant them out here and fertilize them and let them grow themselves, they've got a different taste.
You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid I'm going to wait. You got something in the oven over there? Until I just have that gardening and all clear out of my system. And I won't do it. Now, I don't enjoy this little radish type of gardening. I want to have several rows there and be able to pick enough to do something good.
In other words, if you when you go to the bean patch to pick beans, you want to pick a handful.
Yes.
You go to the corn patch to pull some roasting ears, you want to pull a bushel.
Yes.
But it seems a pity that when we've got as much land around here, that
that's right.
That we couldn't do something like that. And with some helpers.
It'd be less work and there'd be more in it than what I'm doing. And you wouldn't have to, and at least you'd have a little better eating.
You know, I just turned away. Now, I'm not squeamish about prices in the store. Just cooking with two people, it's not so bad. With mother here. Do you know what squash was? I don't want the word pantry pride, but at the store I went to, they were 60 cents a pound, and
right.
I wouldn't even have them.
Yeah.
And
that's
pole
right.
Beans haven't been under 50 cents where I go for a long time, and
I
could.
I think for 49.
49 cents. And you take 3 or 4 pounds of pole beans, and you got yourself a.
Then another thing, meat. You cannot go to a supermarket and get a decent piece of meat without having a special cut and put your finger on where you want to cut and how you want to cut. Of course, they're going to goof it up, I don't care. They're gonna make sure that you get so much of that waste. They're gonna make sure of that.
Yes.
They're gonna sell you that waste for about 79 cents a pound.
Yeah. Just a little to the customer.
Just a little to each one, and they done got wasted a cow.
Yeah.
Now that's right. You can watch it, and just take the whole store in general, and you see.
Well, now, Cookie, you can do better, you might say. You can make more money with your drink. But it don't quite, it's not quite the same. The money won't all, it won't do it all.
Well, I've got the equivalent of the equipment for tune-ups, alternator work, generator work, starter work, valve, and engine component parts. I've got the equivalent equipment that any shop in Gainesville has got. But do you know where my drawback is? I don't have $10,000 or $12,000 to stock the parts to decorate my front, the front of my building, and to pay that tremendous overhead.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of money to hold me for 3 or 4 or 5 months till I get my trade built up. If I had $12,000 or $15,000 to tie in that, I wouldn't want to work. I wouldn't work. Of course, I'd start trading cows and horses.
Looks to me like put in your time. Well, now, old Jack Stokes, is he still going up there to the market?
Yeah, when he can get off. When he can get off, he goes up there.
Yeah. He can't get off regular.
No. Yeah, 126 miles from my station to the auction barn.
Yeah.
That'll take 2.5 hours to drive it.
Yeah. And you got a lot of little time to look around.
Yeah.
You see, Jack could work over there till 11 o'clock.
Yeah, but he can't leave there at 11 o'clock and get there by 12:30, the time sales stop.
Yes. He could go in Gainesville, Ocala.
Yeah.
There's just no satisfactory horse sales any closer.
Well, there's one in Tampa, but it's not any closer.
Yeah.
And it's on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Where's the night? Because you work at night? Mm-hmm. Operate at night?
The best money I've made in horses, I've done it with a flashlight.
The thing is in the daytime.
It's in the daytime. They start selling at 12:30.
Old Etheridge, what's his name?
Gorman.
Gorman's a little hard on a person, isn't he? Is he always that way?
Yeah.
He don't let up. Cookie said, I got some news for you fellas. And Gorman says, what is it? You going to commit suicide? And just kept it up, you see?
Yeah.
And Cookie really had something to say.
Yeah.
Hey, I was proud of it, and I'm still proud of it. I got a job at the university.
Sure.
After that froze, and you know yourself, Guy, that they froze all the salaries and all the jobs.
Yeah.
But I went to work.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I went to work.
That's right. It looked pretty dark there for a while, didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, sir, but I went to work on it.
Oh, you worked on it.
I went to work on it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Old John Boatwright's a nigger, but he's a good nigger.
Yeah.
You see, they had to let a man go. He was not a satisfactory operator. Okay, you're on 6 months probation, and you go to work there. Well, his 6 months wasn't up. He was still on probation. They transferred him out to another department. That left his position open. That left his requisition open. Because this particular man hadn't fulfilled that requisition. Well, John Boatwright, he all but fought for me to get on that requisition.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. He said, this man qualifies. He's got the record. He's got the diplomas to back him up in his qualifications. He said he needs a job.
He went to bat for you.
Yes, sir. They sent me over to Mr. Lake, over in the ground department. I talked to Mr. Lake, and he said, well, he said, I'll have to check this thing out. I walked out of his office, walked in Ed Arthur's office, which is a safety officer for the grounds physical plant division. I talked with him about 2 minutes. He said, excuse me, Mr. Cook. He said, I'll be back in a couple minutes. Mr. Lake met me at the door and said, I want to talk to you. And I went to work the next day.
Is that right? Is that right?
That's right.
You mean it was that close?
It was that close.
Well, now, where did you, do I know Boatwright?
He's in the personnel center there, the hub. He's one of the big wheels.
Well, where'd you run into him?
Well, Jack Little told me that they had a mechanics position open about 8 months ago.
Yeah.
I filled out another application and took over there. All right, Tom Halo, which was in personnel at that time, interviewed me. He said, I'll give your application to Mr. Boatwright. He said, we'll put it on file. You keep in contact with us, which I did. I kept my application active. And then when they had to let this man, when they transferred this man from physical plant division over to another department, I don't know where he went. Why, Mr. Boatwright, Tom Halo had given me such a high recommendation because I did work on Tom's car.
Oh, you have?
I sure have. He recommended me so high to John Boatwright. John Boatwright put my application on top.
Mm-hmm.
Then when this other position came open after the transfer of this man, he called me and asked me if I was still interested in that job, and I told him yes. Well, he said, I think I can put you to work. Well, I started the ball to rolling. I kept aggravating him every day.
Did you?
I went over and talked to him. I called him on the telephone.
Just kept things open?
I kept things open.
Well, where'd you learn to do that?
Tom Halo told me to.
I learned that long ago.
Tom Halo told me to. He said, you keep aggravating him and you'll go to work. But Tom Halo, he quit the university and went to Independent Life Insurance Company. But he told me that after he quit the university. He said, you keep bugging him and they'll put you to work.
Well, it works. It doesn't work just like it sounds. It just really, in a way, you keep in touch with them. It keeps it open. And it shows them you're interested. And it gives them a little chance to see you. Just so you don't worry them. And it's easy to talk to a man, not worry him, isn't it?
Oh, sure.
Just keep it open. Oh, I've done that many times. And enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Disappointed, bad. Yes, they don't think something's happened.
tell you, I don't care how many phone calls you make. I don't care how many letters you write. One personal appearance will do more than all of that.
I found it better to write a letter.
To me, personal appearance does me more good than anything else.
To me, personal appearance did more harm than anything I could do.
There you go.
You see, I can handle a piece of paper where I not very conscious of the other. Isn't that curious?
Yeah.
You got it. I guess some people work better on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, they're married.
I can't work on the phone, and I can't work on by letter.
Yeah.
I can walk up and talk to a man, though.
Yeah. I ain't by and large that's the best.
Have to go over on Saturday?
Yeah, you're going to be lost because you're nothing to do on Saturday.
I'm going to go down here.
You're going to be looking for something to do.
5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And they don't want you to put in no overtime. In other words, at 4 o'clock, I don't care where we're at, we'd rob everybody.
Except it's, you know, it's a quarter of four or something like that.
If we got anything in our hands.
Yeah.
But yeah, I sure hate for you to get disappointed because you didn't have any work to do when you had your
head. Yeah, so you had so much.
And we don't punch in until 8 o'clock. That's it. 8 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, we sit down. 15 minutes. We get a 15-minute break in the morning and a 15-minute break in the afternoon.
Yeah.
We get a half hour for lunch.
Yeah.
So that's 7 hours that you...
Yeah. That's right.
Well, what did Helen think about it?
She likes it. She's glad to see me get out of the station.
Yeah.
Because I'm putting in too many hours. In other words, I was under tension too many hours. When I opened that door one morning, I was under tension right then. And I was under tension until I closed it. Then I was still under a certain amount of tension because I afraid somebody would break in.
Yeah. Or bust the
windows out.
Windows out. And anybody walk up there, they think about, hell, this man got it easy. He don't got no worries. Like that?
90% of them.
Frank? Smitty got a huge payroll over there.
Yeah.
And he got some slow weeks.
And he got some slow men, too. To go along with them slow weeks.
How
would you get? I don't see how he makes the payroll. I don't.
That's the best thing to do.
Well, I believe if it wasn't for his hogs and chickens that he got on the farm, I don't believe he could make his payroll. See, he got a bunch of hogs and a bunch of chickens, too.
The devil he has.
He sure has.
Yeah, he has?
He sure has.
Oh, good Lord. I used to kid him a little bit. He'd go home to lunch. I said, the man don't make a living going home to lunch every day. You know, I just kid him. But it wasn't very funny to Frank was in good humor the last time too. I seen him, Frank Smith. He's jolly whenever he feels good. And they,
yeah. He called me up the other day. Asked me, said, "Why ain't you been to church?" I said, "Because I didn't want to go." "Why has your family been to church?" I said, "You have to go ask them. They went to church last Sunday." "Well, the rest of that girl," and I told them, "my old Calvary Baptist. They went over and sang for Reverend Drew."
"Yes."
"Yeah?"
"Oh, I was aiming to get over there into the last 30 minutes, and I got interrupted, yeah."
"And he yowed out around. Getting him out too much.
Cookie, last time I was there, well, it was before that, Helen tell you, Alvin doesn't go to Sunday school. He runs it. And he and Brother Arnett sit over in the corner at that little bridge table, keeping the figures, but mostly they yah-yahing.
Yeah.
And you can hear them part of time.
Yeah.
And every now and then, Alvin will lean over and hold his head. You don't know whether he's just resting or whether he's hurting.
I think he's hurting more than he rests. He's a mess.
I tell you, I'd love to hear that sister on there talk about the scriptures. That's who it is, isn't it? No.
Wilkerson.
Pauline
Wilkerson.
Yes, I always get it wrong. Pauline Wilkerson.
She can stand up there and quote scripture after scripture of the Bible to you.
And just talk.
And if she gets mad at you, she can get up there and just put the awfulest tongue lashing you ever got on you.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You ever see that?
Yes, sir. When I worked at the school bus garage.
Yeah.
See, she'd drive a school bus.
Yeah.
And she'd come in there with tears running down her cheeks, and they wasn't nothing too mean for her to say.
And she could use that tongue.
She can put a tongue lashing that won't quit on you, boy.
Well, it's nice to hear.
Not pleasant.
Huh?
It's not pleasant.
It stings?
Yes, my fella. She called you anything but a gentleman.
Yeah. And you flinch a little bit.
I have. Of course, she hadn't been a woman, I wouldn't have took it.
Well, sometimes, Cookie, if they are really artistic about it, it don't sting quite as much as it. Miss Patterson used to get me told over here. Oh, I'm telling you, she could just lash just an easy little flake and settle me. Yes, and I knew when I had it too. I would love to go sit on their porch and talk to them. But I know they, like everybody else, they don't sit on the porch.
Was that Wilkerson?
Yeah.
No, they never steal.
Yeah. Moving all the time.
Well, you know, it's 4 o'clock. I would have stopped moving and talked to that man.
You got to talk fast, haven't you?
Yeah.
Why you don't tell him?
I'm gonna be there in the morning at 8 o'clock. Or 7 o'clock. And I'll be there showing the ropes. And I'll let him pump gas. And I'll give him what he makes for the gas, but the oil will be mine. I knew how many quarts of oil I got.
You got the inventory.
Yes, sir.
And you'll give him a gun full of grease.
Right.
And he ought to go on for that.
That's right. He ought to make enough to buy him a bucket off one gun. A bucket of grease costs $9.46.
But he gonna have to buy chewing the back of cigarettes, all that other stuff, you see. It costs him too much to do business in order ever to get a toehold. You won't spend much.
No, I spend about 50 cents a day for cigars. I don't drink. That's the strongest thing I drink is coffee, and I usually beg it. I make a Gorman buy me a cup, or Bud Gillian, or Clyde.
What'd you quit making it there for in the station?
Everybody else started drinking my coffee.
Yeah.
Oh.
You just come in and help us out.
Help us out. I let them buy me coffee now.
And you couldn't very well just keep the coffee in your pocket?
No.
In your trunk, locker?
Sneak behind the door and make you a cup. Isn't that something?
Now the pressure's letting up a little?
As far as I'm concerned, it has, yeah.
Back until you have a cell.
Financially, yes.
You'll have to have a little supervision.
If he will take it. He all got awful hard-headed in the last couple, 3 weeks.
Staying away from home hasn't helped.
No. Well, I'll tell you. He's just 16. He's not capable of assuming the responsibility of an automobile and everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
He's settled. Above the average, but he's not settled enough to assume the responsibility of the upkeep of an automobile.
And everything goes with it.
That's right.
That's a lot of responsibility.
That's right. But now, Laura, as far as her and her automobile is concerned, I feel she's perfectly worthy of assuming the responsibility.
Yeah. Well, now, you hadn't said anything about Laura. Is she everything going all right?
Everything's going fine. Real good. Real good.
Everything quiet.
Everything's quiet. She's quieting back down. Getting along real good.
Nothing bothers her over there on the job.
No. Just as happy as a lark. And you can tell when she's really happy,
yeah.
Or when it's a put on being.
Yeah.
I can tell when she walks in the door whether she's happy or not with her work.
Yeah.
And Helen seems to be situated.
Is feeling better, Helen?
don't know. She wants to diet. She wants to lose weight. She wants to do it herself. And she can't do it. She likes to eat too well. There ain't one kind of a diet she can go on and lose weight. She can drink water and gain weight. And I'm gonna be like the old boy was, worked for Jacksonville Machinery. Seafood diet. Seafood, not eat. He said he would eat a few bites enough to quench his hunger, push back, and go on about his business.
Yeah, take something else.
Just enough. He'd get hungry. Just take a few bites to break his hunger streak, push it back, and go on about his business. He said, I've lost 12 inches around the waist in 5 weeks by doing that.
Who's that?
I can tell you his name, but he works for Jacksonville Machinery Company.
Oh.
He takes care of a bunch of these coin laundries around Gainesville.
Oh.
And he was a great big bellied somebody.
And he has come down.
He has come down. I didn't know it. In 5 weeks, I didn't know the man.
He keeps on, he keeps moving, and leaves the food.
Yeah, seafood diet. Just see it and not eat it.
Seafood diet. That's what he said?
That's right.
Like cigars.
I can't get full. I can just eat and eat and eat all the time. But I'd be so big I couldn't get in that door if I kept on eating.
Yeah.
I weigh 140 pounds.
That's most you weigh in sometimes?
Yes, sir. I weigh 140 pounds.
That's much you need to weigh.
Too much. If I get down 128, I'd feel a lot better.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Have you got your teeth filed off the way you
need? My point.
You just so the other way?
Yeah. Laying up the house on the buffet right now. I'm not going to wear them. They're too wide. I can file them and file them. I've got them filed so thin now. They're too wide.
Make
my cheeks stick out.
They might have just switched. They got the wrong fellow's teeth on those.
They may have, but by golly, they're too wide. And I'm going to go back up there and take them, and I'm going to say, look, see if you first can make some amendments here now.
But they could have made a mistake.
That's right.
Would that be cheaper than going through the dentist here?
Oh, yeah. I could go and get a complete set made for $50, uppers and lowers.
Just start all over again.
Just start all over again for $50.
Yeah.
And you can get one to take impression here in Gainesville for $50.
And they'll make the lower for half that?
Yeah.
Well, you don't even have to wrangle with them.
No, we'll come give them $25. They'll make me set a plate. Set of teeth, your teeth.
And now you see if your mouth's not sore, you can just tell them whether they fit or not right then.
Right then. If they don't fit, say, look here. Fix them, they don't fit.
Well, can you do that?
I'm going to this fall.
Fall?
When we go home for family reunion in August. I'm gonna go do it then.
Yeah.
Just before school starts. Hey, I eat that ham, man.
Yes, I know. And just go by way of there?
Yeah. Save a trip.
Wouldn't be much out of your way.
19 miles.
Where is it?
Florence, South Carolina.
And Florence is over on the west side?
East side. It's just east of Camden. And we go right through Camden when we go home.
Well, I didn't know you went way that far.
Yeah.
East.
Yeah. Camden, South Carolina.
I thought you'd go through Knoxville. Or some such route as that. That's too hilly.
No, I can drive it quicker.
You go around the hills. Is it mileage less or just better roads?
Better roads. 854 miles from the front of my house to in front of Dad's house.
And if you went through Knoxville, it'd be further?
Be right at 1,000 miles.
Oh. That doesn't sound reasonable.
It would.
You know that old dollar atlas we used to get? I guess it costs $2 or $3 now. It had a map of everywhere in the Union. That's a handy thing to have.
I got one at home.
I haven't had one of those in years. I very seldom have a Florida map. But that's the country.
Well, I'm going to go and pet my horses a little bit more. See if I talk that man into that station. Might take him down tonight and interview him. I mean, get him into it and show him how and give him a key and let him go.
You won't need to trade so much as you have been, will it? Cars, I mean.
No.
That what kept you doing that, about all those bad checks?
Yeah, I had to trade. Still got too many.
Is there anything you can do with them, Cousin?
Yeah, I sell them.
Oh, checks is, what you talking about, checks?
Checks.
Checks? I got one in my pocket that says the sheriff's department sent back to me and said they couldn't find the man.
Oh,
okay. $200. I know where he went. This is where I'm sitting here. He went to Mexico.
How long will he stay?
How long will he stay? Well, if I don't get it, if I can get him inside of a year, why, well, I might as well try to check up.
Will he stay a year?
He probably will.
He'll hike out in some other direction. You won't know where he's.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm not the only one that's holding one like this. They told me down at the University Bank that he had a bunch of them out. A bunch of them.
Well, you really learned about the bad check business, didn't you?
Yeah, because I got a pocket full of them.
They've got you from every angle. He had hit the high road.
That's $400.
And that was one of the best animal cars you had.
That's 63 Ford truck. And it's tied up in Louisiana right now. And he's still in jail. And I can't go get the truck.
Yeah. It's impounded.
That's ironical.
He's hauling dope, please.
Oh.
They caught him with a truck loaded of dope and 7 women in that truck.
In your truck?
That's right. And I had the bad check.
Cookie, don't they know they can't, with all the flat feet in the world now, they can't get away with anything? Everybody's business. Why, they can't even moonshine. They can't even moonshine for 6 months anymore.
No.
Now, that's pitiful, isn't it? When a man can't even put moonshine on his own property or the property next to him, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. But, you know, I don't believe. And if moonshine was the only way I had to provide for my family, was making moonshine whiskey. I don't believe that they could tear up my steel if that was the only means of providing for my family.
Do you think you could make it? Get ahead of them?
I believe I'd try.
How would you go about
it? I wouldn't let them in there.
Sail over in the airplane, and you don't know they're looking at you. And it just, you can't just, you're not a mole. And you can't grow beets.
Well, I think, by golly, that they would have to grant me permission to make whiskey. If that's only means of providing for my family. They're going to take me for all the money I got so they can float around on easy money. Yeah, that's the reason they take so many people for all the money they got,
yeah,
so they can float for a while on easy money.
Yeah, that's right. And they're pretty slick at it, aren't they?
Yeah.
But they take a chance.
Yeah.
I don't think they can make it anymore.
There's
too many ways.
Yeah, too many ways of providing for your family.
Yes. You don't need to.
Because if you're a nigger, the government's automatically going to take care of your family.
Yeah.
Automatically.
Yes. You can be perfect drunkard.
That's right. Well, I better run.
See that beautiful fella?
Yeah.
He's busy.